Papo Morales, everybody. Papo, good morning.
Yeah, Steve, I guess I looked at the last five races of the card for tomorrow and also the last five races of the card for Saturday, and, you know, weather is probably going to play an issue. We'll just have to see how the track is going to come back and how it's going to be rated come post time for that seventh race. I mean, I think if the track is fast, I think you can lean heavily on Friend J Fire, but if it's not, then I think you can go a number of different directions. And honestly, I don't think there's a ton of speed in this race.
No.
Not a lot of early heat. And I know he's got off-track form and he's a number, but, you know, if it's an off-track, I'll just say I like 4, 5, 6. I like the 4 American Power from a speed standpoint. I like looking at bikinis, proving on and off-track, and I like this last race. And then I kind of like the 6, Wicked Trick, who ran second last time out the Dr. Post, and that was coming off. I mean, the horse ran 7 days before and still ran second to Dr. Post. So for Linda Rice, and also has proven some proven form on an off track. So I like 4, 5, 6 if the track is rated anything but fast tomorrow in the 7th.
Well, and if it's, you know, if the rain does come and if the track is too wet, I mentioned earlier Kelly Breen probably about 7:30 this morning when his horses came out, including Firenze, and he said he doesn't have a plan B, actually. He said there's not another prominent sprint that, you know, that he can just pivot to, you know, in the next couple, 3 weeks. So as long as the track is not a sea of slop, I think he's going to run. But then you've got, you know, then you've got a different set of conditions to evaluate. And this is, you know, this is a little bit of an extra problematic issue, given that, you know, you got the True North, the sprint double to tie to Saturday. And it's the first race of the 6 races in the 20-cent pick 6. So there's a lot kind of hanging on the track conditions and, you know, Firenze Fire's involvement.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, we'll have time up until post time to kind of see how the track looks. I definitely wouldn't finalize any opinion today. And, you know, luckily if you're using form to win with the click of a button, you can just look at how the horses have performed on tracks rated other than fast. So that's just another element to fold in. And then if you're moving along to race 8, once again, I was kind of looking at a track that's not rated fast. And I like the 5, 6, 7 the horse that is intriguing is that, or excuse me, 5, 6, 8. The 8 horse is the horse I'm going to kind of key on. I think the last 2 races have been pretty darn good. It's going to be probably a higher price than some of the others in here. I kind of like Lake Avenue, but Form to Win pushed her down a bit. So not saying that she can't win, but she was one of the prices that got pushed down. And I was going to try to beat the chalk at 9-5, but unfortunately Chug Wagon was one of those dual qualifiers that fit both on Equibase and Form to Win. So I've got to use the favorite here also.
Well, and she, just thinking back to Pimlico too, I mean, she was, you know, top of chart in the ski pat.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice when it pushes the prices down, but when you're trying to beat the morning line favorite, and then you look on your filters and she's ranked in the top, then I'm not going to get beat by the favorite. I may not bet her outright from a win standpoint, but I'll include her on the multis. And that takes us, Steve, to the Grade 2 New York on 1.25 on the turf, which I'm sure will not be rated fast. Did you say it was rated good already today? Or
it's good today right now, starting out.
Yeah, so I don't anticipate a lot of drying out. So good at maybe best tomorrow. And this is a tricky race, Steven. I know it's part of that $2 pick 4, which I'm really interested in. I do like Harvey's Little Goyle. I know some questions about if she can get the 1.25. But she was actually closing pretty decent in the Breeders' Cup last year, going 1.316. So I think you got to use her. Of course, I think you got to use the Invader, Thundering Knights, for Joseph O'Brien. And then I'm also going to use the 2, Virginia Joy, for Chad Brown. and I read Ortiz. I watched her last race, the replay. She was, you know, it says she only won by 3/4 of a length, but she was really never asked. She won a little bit geared down. She's proven off Lasix, and she's going to be, well, I don't know if she'll be 10-1, but she'll be higher than some of the others in here.
Well, you know, and you bring me to a question that fits in here with the Joseph O'Brien runners. How are we when we're looking at form to win rankings and you know, whatever changes we make? Like, for instance, I just added yielding, with the, at the prospect of it being less than, less than, it's going to be less than firm. I mean, at the very least, there's going to be cut in the ground. That seems seems certain. But what do we do about a horse like Thundering Knights and the other international runners that the system does really not have scores for?
Yeah, it won't have a equibase speed figure. It will have a form to win time. So if, like I said, I was playing around with the filters for a mile and a quarter race. I usually look at a mile and an eighth to a mile and a quarter, but Thundering Knights actually run a little bit further. So if you just look, I actually just looked at 10 furlongs and up, and then you got a limited sample size. So you can look at between 9 and 10 or 10 and up. But if you look at 10 and up, it's Virginia Joy and Thundering Knights 1-2, mainly because some of the other ones don't have sample size, haven't gone that 10 furlongs. But it does have a average form to win time. But another thing you have to consider, Steve, is when these Euros come over, they've been running on deeper ground overseas. So that affects the times of their, obviously the times aren't going to be as fast as if they would have run on firm turf. So you've kind of got to parse out that information and kind of disseminate how you want to use it.
What's amazing, actually, and again, the ease with which you can manipulate the settings and see the various and essentially appreciate how much movement you're getting with added distance or with a very a tightening, let's say. I started out at 9 furlongs to 10, then went to 9.5 to 10, and Civil Union kept coming up, from at one point I think was third choice on the average, now at 9.5 to 10 furlongs. And the horse that is sliding a little bit with the added distance is Mean Mary, which is logical. I mean, not that it's somewhat counterintuitive with horses like her, because as distances stretch out, we've talked about this, and the horse that was the absolute poster girl was Catch a Glimpse, and everybody said, oh, when they stretch out past a mile, she'll be vulnerable. Then she went to a mile and a 16th. Well, when she goes to a mile and an eighth, she'll be vulnerable. No, because they're not going as fast early, so they've got more to hold together late. But when you start to get out to these outer regions, the outer distances, it's a little bit, there's waves of pressure that come at a horse like Mean Mary. So it's interesting that she starts to, shift a little bit downward with added distance in terms of the analysis.
Yeah, and one horse, Steve, that Ornwin had ranked high was Michelin. I just honestly didn't know what to do with her off her last race. It was her first time no Lasix. I don't know if that made a difference. You got to try to play the guessing game here, but she was just not good that day. So I don't know how to interpret that. So use her as a backup maybe, or you just flat out don't use her at all. But I honestly didn't know what to do with that horse.
Who was it yesterday when I was talking to, and they said what Micheline, and I it was Andy, but I just said I was really ambivalent too. I mean, I did not have a particular affection Antoinette either, really. It's funny, Nick picked Civil Union, and I know Mike Beer picked Civil Union too, in the form. I was trying to reach Mike. I thought maybe we could get him today. I've had trouble connecting with Mike, but I just did what you said with the 10 furlongs and under yielding, and actually Magic Attitude comes careening up, doing a 10 furlong exclusive.
Yeah, I did see she moved up. I saw where her trainer this week made comments that he thinks she'll be fine on good turf, but he wasn't sure about her turn of foot on yielding.
Right.
So, you know, you try to read between the lines when they say that. I always pay attention when a trainer puts that information out. But once again, we don't technically know the conditions of the turf for tomorrow, so we're just kind of going to have to be in a waiting game until post time.
Well, it's a good group, and, you know, there does feel like there's that handful that are the more logical winners. Let's go to the 2-mile Gold Cup, and this is a race that has kind of come across in the last three years, give or take. And I think marathon distances anyway of a mile and a half, mile and 5/8 can be intimidating and can confound players, especially if you're not real experienced, and let alone 2 miles. You know, they also run that Alan Jerkins down at Gulfstream, and that's a recent development. I'm just punching it up. What did you come up with when you did it, your pass?
Well, I think you have to use the favorite, Baron Samedi, coming over from Europe and dropping 14 pounds, which is notable out of his last race for Joseph O'Brien. But I'm going to use two others in some sort of fashion, one being that Fantioso for Ignacio Corrales.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of liked his last race. It was a little bit sneaky, kind of stuck behind horses. And I don't know. I just find that horse to be interesting. Not sure how he's going to perform on ground-rated good or yielding. So kind of a guessing mark there. But then my other kind of a long shot play, Steve, is the 6th horse, Strong Tide, for Michael Lauer at 10-1. In the exact 6 of 10 on turf, beat Spooky Channel going 1 1/8, 2 back on turf rated good. Finished 3rd, just beating a length. I wasn't thrilled with the ride that he got in the last and the grade 3 Louisville handicap. So that's a price I'm going to fold into the mix. I didn't know what to do with Form to Win. Did have Makers, the
Tide of the Sea. The Tide
of
the Sea.
Yeah, I had him ranked highly. I don't know. Once again, Steve, I probably read way too much into these what look to be perceived missed works. I like for that routine stuff, and it just looks like he skipped a work May 9th and then didn't work again until May 23rd. So that's just me, maybe reading way too much into that. And Blinker's coming off, which Maker has a good percentage. I think he hits it 28% with Blinker's off. The horse is performing well with Blinker's on, so I'm just not sure what to do with that one.
Well, and I had in my first pass, actually, I had him among Tide of the Sea and Zayad, Fantasioso and Baron Samide. That's Saturday, right? In Spanish?
Yes.
Yeah. Those were the 4 that I originally came up with, and I thought that Maker's other horse with Joel had at least a kind of a nibbler journey to freedom, the 9. I freely admit that these marathons the horses all kind of blend together to me. I find it very tricky. I mean, and the same thing when we talk about the Brooklyn on Saturday. The natural inclination is just to look for horses that have performed at the trip, successfully. That's all. I mean, that's all I kind of lean on.
Yeah, it's a puzzle. I mean, lean on obviously pedigree a little bit too, but for the American horses, most of them have not gone this distance, and where the Euro will definitely be proven. So if you're playing a shorter price ticket, the 8 horse is probably a likely single, but if you can spread out a lot, just a little bit, I would recommend it.
You said you went ahead and looked at the 11th too, which ends.
Oh, I did. I'm waiting to see if they're coming off the turf or not, Steve. So no strong opinion there.
Okay. It's a well matched. I tell you what, I hate. There's nothing worse when you look on these big weekends, on these big Saturdays, and you know, obviously there's opportunities to play the multi race wagers that end with the stakes. You know, for instance, in this case, the Belmont Gold Cup. But then there's the race afterward, and the same thing is true on Saturday. There's two races after the Belmont. I will say that there was a year with Dr. John Cheros where we bailed out for the whole day in one of those races. I was we hit like a 27-1 shot. I remember place had emptied out and it was like dark. We were like the only people in the third deck, and John and I we sort of collaborated and we found some horse that made the whole day. But this 11th race, which is here's an extended turf distance, 1.25 miles on the inner, 3-year-old plus maiden special. And this is a ridiculously well-matched group. The whole field is basically separated by 1.5 lengths on their recent form.
Yeah, I agree, Steve. I had marks on 5, so it will be interesting to see if they keep it on or take it off. Maybe with scratches it'll help out, but that's quite the way to finish the late pick 4, pick 5. And, Steve, right before I go, I will give you just two opinions on Saturday.
Yeah.
The Just a Game, I like the 1 Zofel. I think she had no pace to close into in her last race, proven on turf, rated good or yielding, and she was coming off a layoff into that Churchill Distaff mile. So I like with the 1 Zofel in race 8. And then, you know, the Manhattan, you know, race probably goes through Chad Brown, but I like Gufo. I think he ran a very brave race last time out, and he likes Belmont, so I'll try to key off him and see if we can round this out. And then for the Belmont, I'm with Mike. I went known agenda only because I bet him in the Derby, and but from the Pletcher angle, that's who I'm going to key off in that race. So the only horse that I'm against, which means he'll probably win, is Hot Rod Charlie. I'm still hesitant with an Indian Charlie mare getting 1.5 miles. So we're not saying he can't win, but if he wins, I'm done because I won't have Montauk on any tickets.
I hear you. I mean, that's you know, one of those scenarios, you know, where you're gonna. You know, where you're going to either live or die. I mean, you can't, you know, you want to have a strong lean. And I mean, there are occasions, Papa, where I guess, you know, you got savers set up somehow that, you know, one of the alternative, I actually have had through the Triple Crown season, have had a lot of success on the backup with the backup play. So
I guess it goes to, you know, budgeting and how you did the, you know, build the tickets. I'll go too deep in the Manhattan, and I'm actually going narrow in that sequence. Actually, the late pick 5 is, I say it's manageable, and I won't watch there be a ton of prices, but it's a good challenging sequence that I think can be attacked from a reasonable budget standpoint.
Well, Papo, 4 o'clock today for those that are going to be hanging by the computer and playing some of the action today, whether it's at Churchill or at Belmont and combination thereof. Tune in, and Papo will walk you through the settings, and you know, going to be particularly important if you haven't toggled over when it comes to sloppy track and muddy track and et cetera, and, you know, yielding turf and good turf, because that's at least today, tomorrow, that's what you're going to deal with. I think by Saturday we'll be good to firm. But again, right now I'm looking out and it's just overcast and hazy, but it is there's really no rain, so we're doing okay. Papo, I appreciate it, and I'm going to be handicapping and writing up tomorrow's card, so I'll be tuning in. You'll have today. I can join you.
Yeah, best of luck, Steve. Looking forward to that Big Four. It should be a challenging sequence, and I wish you a profitable weekend, and hope everybody cashes tickets this weekend.
Papo Morales, everybody. PapoCore1 on Twitter. Follow, and you can start to follow it. The form to win. I noticed the other day that the form to win Twitter feed has come alive. I don't know if it right. Did you? What are they using as the? Because I know that they were trying to secure the. They were trying to secure a handle.
Yeah, they. I guess somebody else had the handle somehow. I'm not sure how that actually came about, but they were finally able to get the rights to that handle. So I guess Alex and the team fired it up. I mean, I got up at 4 this morning and saw that it was there. So I was like, oh, I guess I got it done. So yeah, it'll be interesting to follow them and just starting now to put more and more stuff using Form to Win.
Nice. Formtowin.com. Download the app if you haven't yet. And two free races to get you started a day and get familiar and comfortable. We want everybody to feel comfortable about it before they subscribe. And a couple of times a week, Papo and I get together. We look ahead to the weekend and we recap on the back end. And you can now follow Form the number 2, by the way. Form number 2. Win on Twitter. They've only got 6 followers, so let's go. Join them up, and we're going to be having, I think there's going to be a lot of fun this summer. We're going to have a lot of activity, and going to have some contests and more, you know, got Form to Win, you know, sponsoring, obviously, the Big Four. So we should have that live for this weekend as well. Papo, good luck, and I will see you at 4 o'clock.
Sounds great, Steve. I'll talk to you later.
Deja, let's do this. Take a break here. I'm going to try to find Dave O'Rourke was going to be down here in person rather than phone. That was not phone was not the idea. So let me actually quickly break. We'll take a second break. I didn't expect this, and I'll see if he is going to join us or if we'll close out the morning with probably some handicapping actually. So back after this and. Send you into the first day of the Belmont Racing Festival. A couple of stakes on the grass today, and the two-year-olds, right? We got the Astoria today, and then the Tremont tomorrow, two historic races. Back after this, maybe with Dave O'Rourke, maybe not.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only 3 states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Where's your head at? Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Just about 10 minutes left, and it turns out we're going to get, I guess, Dave tomorrow instead, all right? And, you know, there's nothing you can do when it comes to, you know, upper management, right? He's running around. He's got, you know, might have some other TV obligations. Who knows? I will give you, I promised you the rundown on the Belmont Challenge. And, you know, it's the 2 days, tomorrow and Saturday. This is the $10,000 buy-in, $7,500 bankroll, $2,500 prize pool. All right? It's $600 on the five races. Doesn't have to be all the stakes. Five races on Friday. Then on Saturday, it's $900 on five races, ending on the Belmont Stakes. And win, play, show, exact a try, Quinella, and daily double pools. All right, so it's, you know, as many as three horse, multi horse, but nothing beyond doubles. And you're looking at payouts through fourth place. There's two NHC seats, there's two Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge seats, and one Belmont Challenge seat for 2022. So you got plenty of time yet to register. Go to the website and go to Belmont. I'll actually put up a link, in fact, right direct to the registration. All right? And you got the online, if you're not going to be here in person for it, the online registration actually closes today at 5, all right? So if you're going to be, you know your handle, and if you're going to be betting that anyway, do not miss the opportunity to participate in the Belmont Stakes Betting Challenge, 10K. And Rich Eng plays in these all the time. He puts up that big bankroll. Rich Eng, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. I tell you what, I admire the folks who participate in that. It's not easy. You need a great skill set, and those who are near the top of the standings on a regular basis, I tip my hat to them, Steve. They do a great job.
Well, and, you know, this has become, you know, very logically, it's become a big part of any, you know, of any big stakes weekend, the Triple Crown season, of course, and you know, when it comes to each stop, I mean, whether it's Twin Spires, you know, focusing through the Derby Challenge, and you know, for Stronach Group, for First Racing, you know, they get the tie-in, you know, not just Preakness, but Santa Anita and Gulfstream and Express Bet on that side, so you know, they get the play, and then you know, for Naira Betts and the Belmont Stake Challenge, and then you know, obviously, you know, all during the course of the year, Keeneland, you know, they have, you know, the two fall and spring highlights, you know, the Grade One Gamble and such. So I think it's come as a realization to a lot of people that had never considered contest play, Rich. You know, there's been two things that have happened. The ability to bet like players bet, you know, live bankroll, and the fact that, well, I'm going to bet $5,000, $7,500, $10,000 anyway. There's also people, you know, $10,000 sounds like a big bankroll. four friends, $2,500 each. That's, you know, that's another option.
Yeah, there's no question about it, Steve, because out here in Vegas, you know, when I heard you describing that, and I'm familiar with the tournament scene, out here in Vegas, one of the biggest things that's growing is these football, NFL football contests during the fall and winter, where you have $1 million prizes, and, you know, the entry fee is $2,500, $5,000, but, you know, people are buying multiple entries, not just one, but multiple entries, and they're going for a big prize at the end of the season. And, you know, to be competitive, you've got to probably hit about 60% of your point spread plays, and but there's plenty of people who want to play in these things. So, you know, maybe along parallel lines, maybe horse racing can grow in the same way, because there's tremendous interest in those football contests out here, and people come in from outside of Nevada, and they actually can hire people to actually put the picks in for them, you know, once they register too. So there's a cottage industry in that.
Well, Rich, I got about we got 5 minutes, and I want to draw on. I'm not going to pressure you for, you know, again, I talk about you and Gus and Dick Powell all have your analysis up available at BrizNet. So I'm not going to have you give away the store, but in your time at NYRA and, you know, your familiarity with this oval and with this race, what historically, what advice do you give people who get kind of intimidated by the mile and a half and let that, you know, they seem to let it cloud their judgment? What do you tell people to how to approach this race?
Well, I think one of the big things is the post position doesn't become nearly as important as it does on a mile oval or even a smaller oval. You know, the track is so big you can get
there. What Belmont's stick in your mind from, you know, from your experience and being here?
Well, yeah, I think one of the Belmonts that I remember specifically was the Woody Stevens when you know, part of his, you know, phenomenal run of, I believe, six straight Belmont Stakes wins consecutively. But the Conquistador Cielo, because I was working at NYRA at that time, he won the Met Mile on Monday, and then he wheeled Conquistador right back on Saturday, and in he won that on a sloppy oval. But that was a phenomenal feat to win two Grade Ones within basically about 5 days apart between Monday and Saturday. But that's something that you know, may never be topped. Well, especially since they moved the Met Mile from Monday, you're not going to be able to duplicate that.
No, I mean there have been some performances that we've seen, not necessarily from a 3-year-old, but you know, Mohamed, was it Mohamed's effort? Was Mohamed or Frosted or both? Where you said, well, he might be able to wheel right back, you know, if he was a 3-year-old, but I was trying to remember, and I haven't. I'll do the work later today when I'm handicapping and writing up the analysis for the Friday card and putting together the 2-day plays. But I got to figure out when was the last time I had a week here like this week where we had the racing on Monday, because it was pretty far back actually. It was this is one of those calendar spreads where, you know, because of leap year and the way things fall, that it was the, you know, kind of a long spread between, you know, between the proximity of Memorial Day and Belmont Stakes Saturday. Well,
you know, Steve, if someone from NYRA is listening to the show, and I'm sure a lot of the executives do listen to At the Races, but I would suggest they move the Met Mile back to Monday, and it's not going to be lost because, you know, the holiday cards are so big. You know, there's so many stakes races anyway. But the Met Mile deserves to be back on Memorial Day. It really does.
There's so many people that have that sentiment. It's you know, just because, especially in the Triple Crown seasons, you know, the Triple Crown tries, it, you know, it's got the tendency to get overshadowed. I mean, frankly, to be honest, this year it's overshadowed by you know, by the fillies and mares and the Ogden Phipps. Although, if for those of you that didn't hear Mike Welch or see Mike's tweet with the news, Valiance is going to scratch with a fever, and she had caught a little bit of mojo wave actually when the sheets when Thoroughgraph came out last night, it became apparent that Valiance was very competitive with the top choices in there. So we're down. We got a six-horse group now in the Ogden Phipps, for those that didn't hear.
Yeah, actually, when I did my report for Brisbane.com, I actually selected her to win the race coming off, off the shelf. But you're right, her figures. And, you know, I picked her last year at the Breeders' Cup Distaff, and she ran her eyeballs out, made Monomoy girl stretch out, but ran a great second at a big price.
Well, Rich, remind everybody we're at the Rich's analysis for Saturday is up at Brisnet, and Rich Eng for Pro Pick, of course, and the Southern California circuit on a regular basis. You got a play today at all?
Yeah, I'll give two plays. And folks, if you want to follow me or pick up my products from Southern California, just go to racedaylasvegas.com. I have a homepage there and the PayPal link. But as far as a couple of picks real quick, we'll do a double in races 8 and 9. Hopefully everything's okay where they can run on the grass for the Wonder again and the allowance for the maiden special. But race 8, let's go to the 10, Plum Alley. This is a horse that impressed me last year. Came back in the Appalachian, just didn't quite have the mojo late, but I think should improve today. 5-1 is a square price, so we'll go with the 10, Plum Alley, in race 8 in the Wonder again. And in the 9th, let's go to the Rail Horse. It's the number 2, split then double. It's, even though it's a number 2 program, it is the Rail Horse because of the 1 and 1A entry. But Chad Brown, this horse, first-time Lasix, broke maiden last year on the grass. So that's it. Race 10, number 8. Race 2, race 9, number 2.
Very good. A 10, 2 for Rich today in the late double, the 8th and the 9th. Rich, good luck this weekend. We'll do some Triple Crown recapping next week.
Hey, sounds good, Steve. Thanks, and good luck, everybody.
Rich Eng, folks, and a fun morning, including Papo and Mike Welch and Lenny Shulman, Dick Powell, Nick Tamaro. Full weekend preview at the races right here tomorrow. Join us 9 o'clock. If you missed anything, replay and the podcast and archive. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.
Sirius XM Sports presents the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only 3 states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is